Red 5, I'm going in.
Stay in attack formation.
Hello, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another episode of Trench Run Report. It has been a while, but we are back and in full swing. I'm your host, Justin Gray, and here with me is
Aaron Russo, standing by.
And this is a very special episode. We were planning to do this one before last year, but we didn't get around to it. And now, since this is slightly a couple days before Star Wars Celebration in Japan, which I will be attending, I thought it'd be a perfect time to crank out one more episode. And I thought, hey, why not knock out our Rebels episode? Since it's been ten years since Star Wars Rebels has been released.
Since the first season?
Yeah, since the first season.
That's crazy.
So this episode will be... Hi, Toph. This episode is basically going to be a review of sorts. We'll be going by each season, which there were a total of 4 seasons. I briefly watched a video by Goldman and his ranking list on each episode. So I've kind
of... All of ranking list of all the episodes? Oh my god.
Yeah, it was a pretty long video. And that kind of was my prep for this episode in a way. Because there were some episodes that I forgot about.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think it was like 75 or 76 episodes in total, so...
That's a lot.
Yep. And let's kind of rewind back to the year 2014. Actually, I think it was announced in 2013, or maybe at the beginning of the year of 2014. I just kind of remember that it was around that time when Disney bought Lucasfilm.
Yep.
And with that, it was just the end of season 5 of the Clone Wars, and then after that, they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna stop doing that show."
Stop doing Clone Wars. Yep.
But they did have some episodes that were already completed, so they just sent those to Netflix that same year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really interesting. And then they announced that they were making a new show called Star Wars Rebels. And the only footage that we had was short YouTube videos on like each character that they each member of the Ghost Crew. And Dave Filoni described which character was what, like Ezra, Kanan, Hera, Sabine, Zeb, Chopper, and like mostly behind the stuff footage. And then I think they actually had like a video about like the Empire too, and they did have a preview of the Inquisitor. Back then it was just Inquisitor. We didn't know about Grand Inquisitor or more Inquisitors at the time. But yeah, what was your reaction to Rebels, like, announcement-wise?
I don't remember an announcement. And this is, like, it's 10 years ago. I remember, like, specifically, I don't even know if I knew... I don't think I was watching the show when it first dropped, because that was when it was on Disney XD.
Yep.
And it came out every week.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't watch, I don't remember watching that season when it first came out. I got looped into Rebels after it had been out a little bit. And I don't remember, I think at the time, I don't remember if I know I bought a couple of seasons or maybe one or two seasons on Blu-ray back then. Because I don't think there was a way to stream it.
No.
There wasn't, yeah.
No, there wasn't. Which, it was still like the era of live TV. Yeah, so,
it was just long ago enough that it wasn't on a quote-unquote streaming platform. And I don't know if I even had cable or Disney XD. But then I remember at one point it did end up on Netflix, right?
No.
Never ended up on Netflix?
No. Huh. Clone Wars did, but that was
it. I think I watched most of Rebels on Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
On physical media, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember. I remember that when Disney purchased Lucasfilm, that was the only content that was like actively in production. But I don't remember I must not have been tuned in enough to know what was going on. But I remember when I watched it for the first time, I was surprised by how, like, I didn't realize it was like literally like a prequel to A New Hope. It was that I didn't realize it was going to be so much Vader, Tarkin, Ahsoka, like ties to the Jedi. I didn't know that Kanan was a Jedi. When that really is what pulled me into it. It was like, oh, this is like filling in the story of the rebellion, you know, incorporating A New Hope, Clone Wars. It was like, I feel like that show was like pulling everything together and like creating a bridge from Clone Wars to the Rebellion to A New Hope. I just remember just saying, oh, this is very Star Wars. Like I didn't know if it was going to be like just like a standalone kind of like story that wouldn't be as integrated to the rest of the what had already been released and what stories had already been told. And then sure enough, like, yeah, I mean, I look at Rebels as like almost like a spinoff of the Skywalker saga in many ways. Mm. A spinoff of the saga, a spinoff of Clone Wars. Like, yeah.
So I had a kind of a unique experience watching Rebels for the first time. I was invited to a theater down in Detroit.
For the like movie,
like the first two episodes.
Yeah.
Which that was
Spark of Rebellion, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and I think it was like at least maybe a month prior to before it was going to be released on TV. So I was obviously really excited. And I think that was actually the second time running into Kurt Zimmerman, who was a part of the R2-D2's Builders Club.
Yeah.
And he built a chopper droid for that premiere. And he mostly had to rely on a lot of that previous preview.
He had it built before the first two episodes released?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like set and ready to go. You know, like, yeah, and plus there was like no models at the time for him to like go off of.
Right.
So it was just like that behind the scene footage that he saw and maybe some trailer footage that was released maybe a couple months prior. So, Yeah, it was a really interesting experience because that was like the first time seeing any Star Wars material from Disney. It was kind of like their in a way, it was kind of well, you could say that The Force Awakens was their like
how they kicked it off.
Yeah, like the kickoff or like
I feel like Rebels kind of has it didn't at the time like get the like exposure that you would expect from like the first content that would come out from Disney or
whatever. Right.
I think probably a combination of because it was already in production and then it was animated. And I think, I mean, obviously like, even though I don't feel this way, like a lot of people view animated Star Wars as like for kids or not like, so serious or not part of canon or whatever.
Yes, that was a thing, especially for the first season.
Oh yeah, because the first season was definitely like I remember watching the first season and definitely feeling like I wasn't super into it initially because it did feel like it was very much for kids.
Okay,
even though it was legitimate Star Wars, but like
right,
but then obviously like the seasons after season one were definitely similar to Clone Wars. Like it got more and more serious, more mm-hmm. and more deep. Like a lot of, I mean, Rebels to me is probably one of the most unheralded, unrecognized. Like, I mean, like if you really take the time to dig into Rebels, like it is an essential part of a lot of what came before it and what came after it. And like, obviously like, you know, centering, a former Jedi and then centering the rebellion, Ahsoka, Vader, you know, all of that, like was very like it was very much a part of the overall canon story. But because it was an animated show and because the first season wasn't like super popular, I feel like it flew under the radar for a lot of people. I think it still does. I mean, when you think about Clone Wars versus Rebels, like even people who haven't seen Clone Wars have heard of Clone Wars, but I feel like some people may not even know about Rebels, or if they know about it, but they've never watched it. They've never seen it. But to me, Rebels is, you know, I mean, especially now given, you know, even like obviously the Ahsoka show is a huge part of that, but like, and even going forward with Thrawn and with whatever's going to go on with Thrawn, which was one of the coolest parts of Rebels to me, was Thrawn being a part of that. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that a lot of times, like even Clone Wars gets sidelined as like secondary because it's animated. When it's, you know, so much a part of, you know, it's not a spinoff where there's no connection to, you know, what's going on in the galaxy, like Skeleton Crew, right? It's almost mm-hmm. entirely self-sufficient as a story without any real connections to any major characters or even events, galactic events, because they didn't even, you know what the events were. But Rebels to me is at least as much a core part of canon as Clone Wars. Like they're very similar, right? Like they fill in a ton of storytelling around major characters of parts of the story that we didn't get from the movies. And there hadn't been any live action television up to that point. And I mean, really, Rebels Clone Wars and Rebels was the only Star Wars that we really had until the sequel trilogy started to come out. But yeah.
So, yeah, my thoughts on the first season, it was fine. I actually did really like the characters. Especially Kanan was definitely a VIP for the series in my opinion.
Yeah.
Best written character. I loved the character dynamics between him and Hera, him and Ezra, and everybody else on the crew. Ezra kind of had to grow on me a bit.
Yeah.
But again, that's it. Kind of show it's kind of that thing where Filoni he does it well, where there's a character that kind of start out very I want to say annoying, but
like Ahsoka,
right?
Yeah,
he's done it with Ahsoka. He's done it with characters in Avatar: The Last Airbender for the first season, and definitely here in Rebels.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like that is very similar. Like, I think for Ezra as a character really didn't do a lot for me until season two. Is it season two where they fight Vader, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So like once he fights Vader, and then especially when the whole sequence is with Maul. That's when Ezra, I think, became a much more substantial character.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was kind of, you know, confronting the dark side or being tempted by the dark side.
Yep.
And realizing like that his path is the path of essentially of a Jedi. Which then makes him far more interesting than just being like an annoying street rat, you know, like which is what he was for a while. But I thought that, and I think that the dynamic between him and Kanan over the course of the series is probably the highlight of it. I feel like what I thought Rebels did very well, even from the beginning, even though the first season was not as good as the rest, was that it just felt like Star Wars. It felt like it was like, you know, it reminded me a lot of like the times when we were with Han, Luke, Leia, 3PO, and R2 going on these adventures, going on these, you know, these, you know, exploits, like, having a ship that was kind of like a home base, like it felt very Star Wars. And I think that they did a really good job of creating the chemistry between the characters and the, like, it was a character driven story, which was to me very much like in line with like the original trilogy and, you know, that sense of like going through these adventures and these long stories with these core characters, very similar to the original trilogy, which is not the, like Clone Wars was different from that. Like, I feel like Rebels was more OT in its like rhythm and in its expression than the Clone Wars. And I think that that's probably, I mean, I think that's one of the things that I think people are missing out on if they don't care for Rebels or don't watch it. Like, it really is like a really good supplement to the original trilogy. But then it also pulls Clone Wars in, you know, bridges Clone Wars, like, especially through Ahsoka and even Rex and some of the clones. Mm-hmm. Like, it's great. So it's way more important story than I think most people give it credit for in terms of the overall. Like, I mean, even like when we watched Ahsoka, like, you know, people who hadn't watched Rebels, Ahsoka just wasn't as, it didn't have the impact that it had for people who had that history with Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going forward, right? Like, you know, that story is going to continue to be told, possibly, for sure, in TV, maybe even into movies. So Rebels is an important part of understanding a lot of what's come after it and before it, for sure.
So, with Rebels, they actually did bring back a lot of characters that were familiar, like Lando, Hondo, Vader, Tarkin, reintroducing Thrawn into the canon.
Yep, after they had said that that those are legends.
Yep,
that was the first time we got Thrawn in any format after Disney, right?
Right.
That was before any of the other Thrawn books came out, or obviously before Ahsoka season one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first time that Disney said this is legends and then brought it into canon,
mm-hmm.
and did their own spin on it, which I mean, to me Thrawn is one of the highlights of the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And is a great stand-in. I like that they used Thrawn as the main bad guy and then used Vader more as like a side, you know, that it made the times when Vader was in the story much more meaningful instead of just having it be Vader and the Empire.
Right.
That you had Thrawn and the way that he operates, which is very different from Vader and the Emperor. And I thought that was very effective. Some of my favorite episodes, like, you know, are the episodes where it's Thrawn, like, strategizing, you know,
mm-hmm.
talking about things that he's going to try to do or whatever.
So, yeah, that actually one of my favorite episodes that had Thrawn was that one with where he's on Ryloth. And I think Hera was trying to get something back from her family. I think it was like the Kallikori.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Imperial officer doesn't know that it's hers or that she was Cham's daughter. But Thrawn kind of picked up on it like the whole time.
Yeah. And he wanted that thing because he...
Yep, he collected the...
And he studied the art to understand the people, all that. Yep.
So... And from what I've heard, the Timothy Zahn, the author of the Heir to the Empire books, he was involved.
Yeah, he was involved.
So that's kind of what made the character work.
Mm-hmm.
And they also brought back Maul, which was a really interesting choice, even back then. Because like his fate was kind of left up to like up in the Clone Wars. Like, I mean, like we had a comic book that covered a little bit of what happened after the events of the fifth season of the Clone Wars, but we didn't have a Clone Wars finale back then,
right? Yep.
So it kind of in a way that was kind of our like. A closure from all, in a way, especially with the third season.
He dies.
For a brief moment, I almost forgot Obi-Wan was in it.
Yeah.
But, the voice acting for him was like really done well by, Stefan, Stan, who did the voice for, Moff Tarkin in the Clone Wars and for Rebels. So
I thought the I forgot what I was going to say. I lost it. But yeah, no, I think, like I said, pulling it, Rebels is you know, you get all the characters from the Clone Wars or the prequels, you get all the characters from the original trilogy, you get a little bit of everything in the show, which is, and really, if you take the time to really look at, like, there's parts of Rebels that are really, like, especially the things between Vader and Ahsoka, like, are major, major events in canon and in what, quote unquote, the Skywalker saga, even though it's, you know, but it, yeah, very, very, yeah, not, it's not a, it's, it is, it isn't, I mean, obviously you can enjoy the rest of Star Wars without watching Rebels, but I do think that if you're really a beyond a casual fan, like, and you haven't seen Rebels, like, there's stuff there that really does, you do need to at least know about.
Mm-hmm.
Like even just the stuff between Ahsoka and Vader, just that, you know, those are some of the best moments in canon, really. I think. But
So the second season, they showed the first two episodes at Star Wars Celebration 2015, along with the trailer. And the second season probably might be my favorite out of the three, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of the four, you mean?
I mean, out of the four, so yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Mostly the stuff with Vader. I like how, like, with the Inquisitors, the only big issue that I have with the Rebels was the portrayal of the Empire, which in the first season, they were kind of just the school bully, if you will.
Yeah.
On Lothal. And Callus was kind of the punching bag for a while. And then the Inquisitor was kind of a step up, it did kind of feel like he was the villain of the week in a way, though. And more so with the other Inquisitors. But when Vader stepped in, it was kind of like the moment where it's like, oh, yeah, he's not going to lose this fight.
Right.
It kind of brought tension, definitely so when it was involving him and Ahsoka. Because back then, we didn't know if Ahsoka was going to make it at the end of the season, which is kind of interesting for a character. Because that was kind of the same way with Clone Wars. Because we didn't know if...
Well, yeah, she leaves.
Yeah, she leaves.
We didn't see her again, right? I mean, season 7. But in the Clone Wars context, yeah.
Right.
She leaves the Order, she walks away from Anakin, and then that was it.
Then, at the end of season 2 of Rebels, they leave on, one of the best cliffhangers in television, and we don't know if she's alive or not.
Oh, when after the...
after the fight.
Yeah, when she's... until later in Rebels.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's when she's trapped in there with Vader.
Yep.
And then that's the end of the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was the scenes before that when she first senses Anakin, or senses that this, because when she's hearing about this mysterious Sith or something, and she somehow makes the connection, or at least she suspects the connection. But she didn't know for sure until that confrontation. And then you don't know. Does he kill her? But in the duel, she cracks open his helmet.
Yep.
So she's definitely, able to go toe-to-toe with him. But we don't know yet. Yeah. I mean, that's peak. That sequence on Malachor.
Yep, Malachor
was the combination of Maul and Kanan and Ezra, and that conflict, and how Ezra's doesn't realize he's being manipulated, and he, Maul's on Maul's side, and that's when Kanan gets blinded, right? And then you have the Ahsoka, and that's a lot of. That's to me the pinnacle of the storytelling in the show, in terms of how it's connected to everything. You have Maul, Vader, Ahsoka, Kanan, Ezra, the Inquisitors, everything those are some. Apart from the much maligned helicopter,
lightsabers, yeah,
helicopter saber,
uh-huh.
How they would fly away.
Yeah, Star Wars Rebels definitely had its criticisms, especially the Wookiees at the in the pilot. But again, the budget for Rebels was way smaller than Clone Wars.
Oh yeah, you can see it.
Yeah, you can tell.
Different. The animation style was initially something that I really did not like. But I think it was because it was it felt like a step down from Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But then it grew on me. Like, I really, like, there's things that I think they do a lot of really cool things with colors mm-hmm. and texture in the show. And, like, a lot of times it really almost looks like you're watching an animated painting. Like, there's texture and, like, it's not, like, hyper-realistic. It's mm-hmm. more, like, artistic. And I think, like a lot of things that Sabine does, like, with color and with art and with just the way that, and there's this really clean lines and very clean, like, visuals in the show that I think are really effective. And, like, I've grown to, like, really appreciate, like, I think there was a push for a long time for the animation to become more and more realistic or look as much as possible like real life, which is cool. I love mm-hmm. that. Like, Clone Wars is like that. But I thought Rebels made me reappreciate like animation as an art form that doesn't necessarily have to look hyper real. Like, even like everybody criticized like how thin the lightsabers were.
Oh yeah.
But I thought that was cool. I thought I liked that they did a different kind of take on what Star Wars looks like visually, even the way Vader looked, you know, like kind of reminded me a little bit of like the way that they did things visually in the original Clone Wars, like the mm-hmm. the pre-Disney ones. Like not the pre-Disney, but the pre-Clone Wars, you know. Yeah, like so unrealistic looking, mm-hmm. like, you know, almost like on purpose, like, but that's actually, it's really good. It's really effective. I thought that Rebels, I think that that's another thing that people, like, they criticize, like, the animation style or the visual, but I think it really is, you know, you don't want everything to look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rebels was a really, it grew on me, like, visually as well. But yeah, I mean, and I think, well, going, what you were going to talk, were we going to go season by season, or are we just kind of riffing on it?
It's kind of, yeah, I feel like it's still, like, in season, like, topic-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and then after season two, you know, mm-hmm. you get, then it's more about Kanan and Ezra and his training and his, you know, growth as a, I guess, a Padawan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kanan's, like, adjusting to not being able to see, which kind of forces him to get back in touch with his Jedi roots more, it seems like. I love, like, the, and then you get, you know, you get into the Bendu, and you get mm-hmm. into the more of the lore, like, and more of the mythology side of things, which I thought was really cool. Like, it told the Rebels story, but it also was delving into the lore, mythology of the Force, or
mm-hmm.
mythology of, you know, the lore of Star Wars, which was, I think, also really interesting, even though some people, again, are, like, poo-pooing, like, the Bendu and some of that stuff, but, I mean, we didn't talk about, like, the Darksaber and
the Mandalorians
and all of that, like, so many things that this show does, like, it really goes in every direction
mm-hmm.
and pulls everything together, which I think is really, really interesting. When do we find out about the TIE Fighter project with Thrawn? Is that season two or three?
I think it's like season three, mostly tackled in season four.
Okay. Because that's another part of the story, right? Is like the competition between Tarkin and Thrawn. Because like Thrawn wants to develop the TIE Fighters and
mm-hmm.
Tarkin wants to develop the Death Star.
Yeah.
Right? That's mm-hmm. in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like the conflict between where to put resources and then the connection to Lothal. What was the name of the ships that he was making? The what?
The TIE Defenders.
TIE Defenders, where they're supposed to have like shields and hyperdrives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting, like showing some of the politics within the Empire, like, and how they had different, that Thrawn and Tarkin had different visions for what would be effective.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting. I thought that we didn't even talk about Callus and his transition from loyal to the Empire to becoming basically part of the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even like the more I think about it, like there's a lot of story being told in this show.
Yeah.
Like even as I'm reflecting on it, it's like, wow, I mean, like these characters, there's a lot of characters, there's a lot of storylines, there's a lot of development, there's a lot of, and it's all told within the context of the timeline that we're very familiar with, like Imperial, Rebels, that kind of thing. What else?
Oh yeah, Saw Gerrera and Mon Mothma.
Yeah, Saw Gerrera and Mon Mothma.
Yeah,
yeah, because that in Rebels, Mon Mothma has already
defected. Yeah,
been kicked out of the Senate or left or whatever. You know, interesting. We're gonna get something. Like, so Andor season two is very much like I almost feel like it is a the Rebels and Andor are very in line, like. Timeline wise and storytelling wise in terms of like telling stories from the same time period, which is interesting. And like tying Ahsoka into the rebellion, tying, you know, Mon Mothma, we get Bail Organa as well. Uh-huh. And then what was the story with Rex? In here, because like there's that episode where they find the clones on the, what was the name of that planet? The fishing
for. Oh things. Yeah, the Jumpa.
The yeah.
I forgot the planet's name. I don't think it actually. I'd have to go back and watch, but yeah, it was like a wasteland.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was from the second season.
And like the things that they talk about in terms of like you know like. Like they're like they know about the rebellion, but they're like we don't want to fight anymore. But then Rex does eventually,
mm-hmm.
you know, engage with that. But yeah, I mean, I think I don't know. Honestly, like the more we talk about it, the more I realize like there's a lot. I mean, you could really do a lot of. Discussion around a lot of different storylines and storytelling and characters in this show. Which just again makes me even more like, it's just even more so like as much as people might dismiss this show or can't, or kind of push it to the side as like not essential or not as mature or whatever. Like, I don't know. That's a lot of Star Wars to leave out of your headcanon.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot going on, and especially with the stuff going on with Ahsoka and with the potential for a movie, like an Heir to the Empire type of movie, like it's going to become more and more like, well, if you don't watch Rebels, a lot of this is going to be have far less of an impact, or you won't understand it as well, and maybe that will lead people to watch Rebels more. I don't know.
So, the show concludes on the fourth season, which kind of brings it to a big giant battle on Lothal. Mm-hmm. A lot of big giant events happen. The loss of Kanan Jarrus. The disappearance of Thrawn and Ezra. And the epilogue at the end that kind of kickstarts the Ahsoka show in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like where they're with Sabine and Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ahsoka the White.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time we see that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that is like that finale was to me like just the proof that like the show was effective. Like the death sequence for Kanan was very impactful, like, and really pretty, that's pretty intense, pretty serious stuff. Like you spend four seasons with that character and then he sacrifices himself. And that's not typically like, kids show type of thing. You know, like usually in kids shows, the heroes don't die.
Right.
And then on top of that, like Ezra's sacrifice, like that's very heavy stuff. Like, and in a lot of ways, and I'm sure people have talked about this. Maybe we've talked about this, but like that, what you're saying, what you're describing, like that finale and that epilogue is very, feels a lot like Empire Strikes Back. Like, except Kanan, who could be Han, right? Instead of being frozen, he's dead. And then you have Ezra, who's kind of like Luke, who's, you know, like, it was, and we didn't know right at the time that we would ever get any more stories about those characters, but it was very much something that felt like there was more. I mean, obviously with Thrawn and Ezra being launched off and then insinuating that Sabine and Ahsoka would be going to look for them. It had that feeling of like that emotional, like, oh, like Empire Strikes Back is like such a weird feeling when it ends and you're like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen next. And it's all this uncertainty, but it was very emotionally, like, you know, cathartic. And I thought that was very much the case with the end of Rebels. I mean, Kanan dies, Ezra goes off into oblivion. And then Ahsoka, who's, you know, at that point, her story is really fully mature as she is a major part of the whole canon story. So yeah, I mean, I remember, like, you know, and that, what, how long was it between the end, the last episode, the last season of Rebels
and Ahsoka?
That would have been what, like, so if it started in 2014.
Yep. And it ended in 2018.
So like that would have been like what, 5 years?
Yeah.
Between that and Ahsoka, 4 or 5 years. So that's a long time to wait for what is essentially, you know, which some people say in a negative way or in a positive way, like Ahsoka is like the Rebels sequel. It really is a Rebels sequel. So that's a long time to wait. And like, and it, to the best of my knowledge, like when that ended, we had no expectation that the story would ever be picked up again.
Right.
I don't remember thinking that, or like thinking like, oh, but you know, they announced this and it's just over. And it was like,
Yeah. At that point, I thought it ended way too soon. Despite it being as long as the other seasons. And I remember that I wasn't super satisfied with the ending at the time. And that it's like, okay, so we're just going to sit here and wait for another story, and for how long? It didn't make me hate the series as a whole, but it made the last couple episodes not, like, in my opinion, I didn't revisit them as much because I was like, I just don't want to experience the ending again.
Yeah, like I said, like, because we didn't think or know that there would be any more story told.
Right.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh man, that's just.
But when Ahsoka was announced, it kind of made me revisit the ending way more and kind of appreciate it for what it was. Mm-hmm. And, overall, I still love Star Wars Rebels. I love the heck out of it. And it's kind of the ideal Star Wars show in a way. It was definitely geared at kids, sure.
Yeah.
There were definitely moments for adults as well. Very easy to follow. Really likable characters. It brought characters back that we kind of didn't really know needed, like, their stories to be told in this way, I guess. Especially with Maul and Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
And Rex, obviously. And, oh man, we haven't even touched Hondo and Lando. which I remember talking on, I think it was either, I don't know if it was actually recording or not, but I do remember talking with Star Wars Underworld when they reviewed one of the episodes, and I think it was the Puffer Pig episode. And I remember Dom just like hating the episode.
What was that one character who always talked with his mouth full?
Oh, as Morgan.
He was like, oh, he was so annoying.
Like, voiced by James Wong.
I didn't hate the character, but it was definitely, I mean, I think I felt about the character like I was supposed to feel. Was just like,
this like disgust. Yeah.
Annoying and disgusting.
I loved that little banter between him and Hondo. Like him, whenever those two were on screen, it was kind of funny that they keep poking jabs at each other.
Yeah, like, I think all of that is, you know, I understand. I think I understand why some people would dismiss the show as for kids or childish. I guess I think that is. It's a legitimate take to have on it, and I mm-hmm. wouldn't hold that against anyone. But I do think that it's important. Like for me, I guess for me, and I think for a lot of people, no matter how old you are, whatever. Like I do think that it is important to remember that Star Wars is a kid-friendly franchise.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it is a family-friendly franchise in many ways, even though it isn't completely childish. And I think that Rebels, while it does dip a little more into the maybe childish side, although honestly, but as the seasons go by, it is less and less of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is, I think, you know, it's not super complex storytelling, but it is definitely not like childish. Like by the time we get to the Vader and Ahsoka and Thrawn and all of that, like it is pretty substantial storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important. Like I know for me, like part of the charm of something like Rebels is the fact that it is kind of for kids. Like I like that parts of it are only funny. Like there are parts of the show where you're watching and it's like, you don't laugh, but you know, the little kids would think that was funny.
Right.
You know? And I appreciate that. I don't know why I've always been able to balance that. Like the ways that Star Wars sometimes does, especially in animation, come across as childish or for kids. But I feel like that is pretty on brand for Star Wars in general. Like, and I mean, I always, my introduction to Star Wars was as a 7-year-old, as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there were plenty of other things that were coming out in the movies and whatever when I was 7 years old that didn't resonate with me like that did. So it is a child-oriented or a kid-oriented or a family-oriented franchise in many ways, which to me, that's probably part of what would make people like or dislike Rebels more or less, is to the degree that you can like, you know, go along with the more childish or kid-oriented parts of it. And I think this show, more than Clone Wars, is that. Even though, I mean, even as I say that, like, it's still, like, a very mature show. Like, there's definitely, mm-hmm. like, themes there that, you know. But, I mean, even at 7 years old, I remember being able to get in touch with, like, the deeper emotional themes of the original Star Wars. But, so I guess it is what it is, like, but I think that Rebels is the unsung hero. It's like the underappreciated child in the Star Wars family that, yeah, it's not for everyone. It obviously doesn't have the following that Clone Wars has,
mm-hmm.
but I like you, I think that it is firmly cemented into canon for me and is definitely, I can't imagine Star Wars without having that in my experience. Like I know there are people who haven't watched Rebels who still love Star Wars and love all everything else about Star Wars. But it is for me, like, definitely like a part of my, a big chunk of, like, I mean, like, you have the movies, you have the live action, you have the animation. And I know that Clone Wars kind of overshadows Rebels a lot, but I, for me, Rebels is as essential as Clone Wars in many ways. Maybe not quite as essential, but pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and really is, it was in some ways a sequel of Clone Wars in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
A sequel of Clone Wars and a prequel to Andor, Rogue One, New Hope, all of that.
So, yeah, it's definitely a show that I'm glad that they made it. I've had fun with it, and you know my famous quote is that if you had fun with it, and if in Star Wars, then it did its job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely and I really am biased on this one. I definitely give it a 9 out of 10.
as a whole. As a series, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I find myself watching that usually in the mornings, which is kind of weird because I remember watching it mostly at nighttime. But I've kind of found that to be like a good morning starter. Like, I make pancakes for myself and then just pop in Rebels from time to time. And it kind of sets the mood for the day.
Yeah. And it's very digestible that way, too. Like, you don't have to be, like, super paying attention.
Right.
Necessarily. But I think that, like I said, I think it's the perfect blend of, like, Saturday morning cartoon and serious storytelling and Star Wars storytelling and, you know, like, you know, Chopper, like even the jokes and the memes around Chopper.
You know, yeah.
The war criminal. Or even Zeb. Zeb reminds me so much of I kind of view Zeb and Wrecker very similar characters, which I always appreciate that in Star Wars, like the kind of like the, you know, like Zeb is so corny, right? Mm-hmm. Like just like Wrecker, so corny, so campy, so silly, so not funny in a funny way. You know, like I don't ever laugh out loud or have any like belly laughs watching Wrecker or Zeb, but they just kind of put a smile on your face. Like they're they're so likable, you know, in all of their obnoxiousness. You know, they're the kind of characters that grow on you. And I think that Zeb and Wrecker and other characters like that are underappreciated because they are, it's important to have that balance, you know, like that, like, you know, the one who can deliver one-liners or like be the annoying sidekick or whatever, you know. But then even with Zeb, they give him a serious story. Like he's a survivor of a genocide who, you know, has a very strong motivation to be a part of the rebellion, which I think is pretty cool. And his storyline with Kallus was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. I mean, I feel like even as we're doing this, I'm feeling like, man, we could have done like an episode for each season easily.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot packed into four seasons of Rebels. The only character really, the only, like, we get Leia, we get Obi-Wan, we get Vader, we get R2. Did we get R2?
Yeah, we got R2 and 3PO.
3PO.
First season, yeah.
We got, you know, so we got almost everybody in the original trilogy except Luke and Han.
Well,
and Chewbacca was...
Yeah, there were Wookiees in it.
Then we got, obviously, Darth Maul. We got some clone troopers. Like, it is really a very central part of, you know, the overall Star Wars story. And I think that it's, you know, I don't know if that it's never going to change. I don't think it's ever going to be recognized or acknowledged the way Clone Wars is. Especially after season 7, which was just so incredible.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Rebels is like comfort food. It's very, very, very much a part of like what comforts people about Star Wars. I think.
Well, to end this, because it's been 10 years, some of the cast of Rebels have now have a Star Wars podcast of their own. And they've been kind of breaking down each episode, and I think they're still on the first season. So I do not have the... actually, I can quickly pull up the name of the podcast. Pod of the Rebellion.
Pod of the Rebellion.
Yep.
Who does that?
The voice actors and actresses for Ezra, Hera, Sabine, and then there was another guy. I think he might be hosting. I've only listened to a couple episodes, but yeah, if you are interested in further breakdowns of those episodes, be sure to listen to their podcast. They've been going to a lot of conventions, and they still kind of keep in touch, which is pretty cool. And so yeah, that concludes our Rebels episode. I'm pretty sure we'll definitely talk about Rebels again in further episodes. Maybe even do like a view, one-on-one view of each episode. Which that will be like further down the line. So as far as the future of Trench Run, as I said before, I will be heading to Japan for Star Wars Celebration in Tokyo.
And I will not be heading to Japan.
Which I'm still bummed on.
Yes, we have representation in Japan.
Yeah.
Are they doing anything for Rebels?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
Which is a shame, but I still think the pod of the Rebellion is still so it's up there. And we will definitely have a May the 4th episode, which I believe is going to be Revenge of the Sith. Since that will also be re-releasing in theaters,
yes,
for the 20th anniversary of that.
What's the 25th? 20th yep. Anniversary. That is crazy.
Yeah.
20 years ago. That's crazy.
So be sure to keep an eye out on that. We will definitely be doing a four-parter for, the last season of Andor Files, which covers the season 2 of Andor, which I don't know if I'll be able to make the first couple episodes, but I know that Aaron, Sean, and possibly David might be covering it.
We'll be watching it at least, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll figure something out. And we'll definitely be doing a post-celebration episode so that you can share the full first person experience of everything that you'll experience there.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And I'll also be posting some stuff on the Trench Run report media platforms, such as photos and audio coverage. So be sure to keep an eye out for that. But until then, may the Force be with you.
Always.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.